Sanctuary, also your love offering. UMBC Midwest Bible Study will resume Wednesday, September 17th. September announcements. September 14th, nurses, ushers, and they observed during the morning service. Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Mount Fisca. Union MBC is invited, guest for Pastor Appreciation Celebration for Pastor Dr. Timothy Mark Harris. Pastor William will be the guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, September 21st at Mount Fisca Baptist Church, 801 West Market Street, Bloomington, Illinois, at 3 p.m. September 27th, the men's ministry will be hosting a breakfast chat at 9 a.m. at Denny's, 701 Eldorado Road, Bloomington. Reserve your seat by September 20th. Questions, contact person Eric Collins. Coming up events. Pastor Appreciation Celebration at Olivet. Union MBC is invited guests for the Pastoral Appreciation Celebration of Pastor Damon Colvin. Pastor Williams will be the guest speaker. The service will be Sunday, October 5th, at Olivet Baptist Church, 1115 21st Avenue, Rock Island, Illinois, at 3 p.m. Those who are riding the charter bus, please sign up in the church office. The UMBC Church Ministry. The purpose of the UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationship with our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. That concludes our announcement. Turn the hand to the pulpit.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Good morning, Union, and I welcome you again to this worship experience here at Union Missionary Baptist Church. Let us join together to the Lord a hand of praise. That the Lord has made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. That's the decision you got to make. Sometimes you got to go beyond your feelings and just choose to rejoice and let your feelings catch up. And that's what I implore you to do on today. For those who may be in our parking lot ministry, we welcome you as well. And we're just looking forward to having a joyous celebration in the Lord on today. I'm going to ask that you stand with me now as we open with our Lord's Prayer. We'll be coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. The Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 through 13. Let us read together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you remain standing for just a moment, we're going to have our scripture reading from the morning, for the morning, which will be coming from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37 through 40. Let us read together. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy mind, so with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Just a reminder for us, Union, let us love God and love one another. Amen. You may be seated as we turn it over to the hands of our music ministry.
Now, I don't know that if you know what I know, but my God's been good to me. Can you put those hands together?
Thank you.
stand with me and let us all fix our hearts on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to glorify you, Lord God. For yes, indeed, you are the light of the world, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the way you shine in our hearts, dear Lord, to give us newness of life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, oh God, because you shine around us in our times where on the inside we feel dark, but you wrap us in the warmth of your light and your love. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the divine privilege that you shine through us, Lord God, that we might be witnesses in a dark world. Lord God, we want to say thank you this morning. Father God, we want to thank you because you indeed sit high, but you look low, Lord God. So as we come before you today, we pray, dear Father, that you would look upon each and every one of our hearts, Lord God. Each of us come into this place with different sets of burdens, different sets of rejoicing, different things on our heart and our mind, Lord God. And Lord God, we bring them to you right now, Father God, because we know that you can handle it. We know that you've been handling it, Lord God, and we put our hope and trust in you, Lord God. Father God, we pray for Union Missionary Baptist Church, Lord God. We pray for this body of believers, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves through each and every one of us. We thank you that you are building relationships amongst us. We thank you, Lord God, that we're able to comfort one another in our times of need. We thank you, Lord God, for the many ways that, Lord, that you provide us and you equip us for ministry, Lord God. Thank you for your grace. God, you know we ain't worthy, Lord God. So we ask right now that you would just continue, Lord God, to forgive us for those sins that we committed in your sight, Lord God. We pray that you would cleanse us afresh, Lord God, that we might be renewed for this ministry that you called us to, Lord God. Father, we pray for your blessing on our pastor, Dr. Williams, Lord God. Please continue to be with him. Strengthen his heart. Encourage him, Lord God. We pray that you would fill him, dear Lord, with a double portion of your spirit, Lord God, that he might lead us, Lord God, as you lead him, Lord God. Give him strength. Give him courage, Lord God, and give him perseverance, Lord God, that he might continue to fight the good fight of faith, Lord God, and lead us as you call him to do. We pray for your blessing on his family as well, Lord God. Please keep them in your care, Lord God, that they may stand united, dear Lord, in this world in which we must shine. Father God, we pray for the leadership of this country, Lord God. You know that it has been a dark week in this country, Lord God, and much of our ugliness has been put on display, Lord God. Not that it wasn't there, but sometimes, Lord God, we just get really dark in this place, Lord God. So again, we thank you, Father, for your life. We pray, dear Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, Lord God, as even though we find ourselves joining the number of the discouraged, Lord God, we pray that we be reminded in this place that we are a people of hope, Lord God. And where there is darkness, Lord, light shines much more. So, Lord, equip us, strengthen us, encourage us that we might be a voice of truth in this place, Lord God. Father God, please be with our leadership. Please be with us in our families, Lord God. Father God, we know this week that everybody is not having walking on sunshine, Lord God. We know that sometimes we are dealing with issues in our own hearts, oh Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch us in a mighty way, Father God. We pray that you would fix our minds, Lord God, that we might see the good in what's going on in our lives right now, Lord, and give us strength to endure. Lord God, we pray that you would go amongst the sick rooms, Lord God, that you would touch and that you would bless, Lord God. Many of us, even in this place, are dealing with illness right now, Lord God, and we pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch in a mighty way, Lord God, and let your healing be found in this place, Lord God. We pray, dear Lord, that by the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that you would touch, Lord God, and continue to encourage us and remind us that you are a way maker, Lord God, even when the world says there is no hope. Father God, we pray that you would stabilize minds and hearts on the day, Lord God, when we may be troubled. Lord God, give us strength and encouragement through the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Strengthen us that we may be prepared for the fight that you called us to, Lord God. Oh, Father God, there are many needs that we have on today, Lord God, and we trust and believe that you would touch us and meet us at each and every one, Lord God. So now we just pray, Lord God, that you would be with us, Lord God, for we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. So let us stand boldly in that truth, Lord God, as we lean and depend on you. Father God, we thank you so much and we praise you. It's in the mighty name of Christ Jesus that we do pray. Let everyone say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated as I now turn it over to the hands of our pastor, Dr. Ezekiel. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Come on now, let's lift them up. He's worthy. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of our visitors on this morning, those who may be listening out in the parking lot, those who are listening into our YouTube channel, and all of my father's children. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Anybody praise God for being able to be in the house of the Lord? One more. One more time. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. Our administrative position has been reopened. We will have that come out. You can see that in your update Tuesday. You can see that we'll have that read again. Those who are interested in the administrative position here at the church, it has been reopened. The deadline will be Friday, October 24th. Amen. Amen. And next week, we are the invited guest. I'm the guest speaker. The choir will be singing, and members of our church will be celebrating the pastoral anniversary of Pastor Dr. Harris of Mount Pisgah. That's next week at 3 p.m. Amen. 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 On today, we want to acknowledge two ministries, our ushers ministry and our nurses ministry. Amen. Let's put our hands together. Amen. I think Sister Williams is going to share with us, and then we will invite those ministries to come down and we'll have a word of prayer.
Good morning, Union. Today is Union's Ushers and Nurses Annual Day. The Ushers Auxiliary would like to thank God for another glorious year of serving you and serving others. Our motto is, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. Our mission statement is, our mission is to help keep order of the service. We show up for funerals, other church services, as well as being a part of God's servant. We have the opportunity to give God glory by serving his people. Now I would like to acknowledge our ushers, Ford Auxiliary. Rimeldi Rogers, president. Hendry Gay Jr., treasurer. Emma Williams, secretary. Sandra Bosey, chaplain. Andrew Person, usher. And we thank you for letting us serve you for another year. To God be the glory. Amen.
Good morning. The nurses ministry is a very small ministry, but we are committed to our job, our service, and that is to assist the pastor in any way and the congregation to a limited amount. Our services have been, I guess you'd say, limited since COVID. So our duties and our services vary very small, but we are committed to whatever the task may be. Our members are Emma Allison, who served as president for many years. Mamie Dudgeon, Lisa Stan, and Ophelia Schaffner, and myself, Cynthia Johnson. Thank you.
At this time, will the members of the nurses' ministry as well as the usher ministry come down for a word of prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for this day and this opportunity for the ushers' ministry and the nurses' ministry. And Lord, we know that they do a mighty work. Nothing is small in the kingdom of God. So Lord, we say thank you for the nurses' ministry and the ushers' ministry as they serve you and they serve us. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every member in their ministry as well as personally. Lord, we know that you're God that sits high and looks low and know all of our ins and our outs. So, Lord, with this ministry, allow them to continue to grow through your grace and your mercy as they serve in the kingdom of God and they just lend a helping, assisting, and loving hand to each and every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give God a hand clap of praise for our nurses and our ushers ministry. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles, amen, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18 through 27. 2 Chronicles, verse 34, 18 through 27. That's 2 Chronicles. That's Old Testament. Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, 34, verses 18 through 27. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. That's 2 Chronicles, 34, verse 18 through 27. Chapter 34.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if you're able, chapter 34, verse 18 through 27, amen, amen. I want to read these verses if you give me an opportunity. That's 2 Chronicles 34, King James Version is what I shall be reading from. Yours sounds different, that may be the reason why. 2 Chronicles 34, 18 through 27 reads as follows. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent, tore his clothes, And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abadam, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, Asaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Hilkiah, they that the king had appointed, went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, and of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. Now these are the key verses, 23 through 27, what I'll be preaching on today. And she answered them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, tell the men that sit you to me, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Somebody say grace. And then verse 26 says, and as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus said the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardst his word against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and did rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, said the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Can y'all give me a few minutes today? Just give me a few minutes. I want to share with you, not going to neglect God anymore. Not going to neglect God anymore. I know that's a lot to say, but can y'all say that with me? Not going to neglect God anymore. One more time, make the preacher feel good. Not going to neglect God anymore. Can I tell you a little story about me being a homeowner? I made a mistake. I saw a little brown spot in my ceiling about 12 years ago. I saw a little brown spot and I didn't think anything about it. And this brown spot started on my ceiling getting a little bit bigger. I didn't think about it then. And then it started getting bigger. And then a good rain came and my ceiling fell in. I had all the signs. I see a little brown spot there that now I know what it means, that there's some water damage there in my roof. But I just ignored it and went on about my business. But eventually it kept on raining and it kept on getting weak. And eventually my ceiling fell in the corner there. Because I neglected to follow the signs, and because I neglected to attend to a tender spot in my ceiling, I ended up paying more than I needed to pay. That if I just would have done it as soon as I saw that there was an issue, I would have had to get it fixed and repaired, which all of us have to do in life, but it wouldn't have cost me so much. Help me, somebody. And as I look at this text, the main person here is King Josiah. And the verses here is 23 through 27 I want to look at today. Is that as we look at these verses, let's look at the king of the time right now. And in this text, I want us to get a mind like Josiah, that we are not going to neglect our God anymore. Under King Josiah, God is not going to be neglected anymore is the mindset that he had. And this impacts the religious practices of Israel and brings up the consequences that God's people receive when we neglect God but not only neglecting God, but neglecting God's word. Make up your mind, brothers and sisters. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve the world? Are you going to do your own thing, or are you going to do God's thing? That's under your watch. That's your choice. You have to do that. But God is a God that wants you to serve him 24/7. Not be perfect, but be a servant. And you have to make up in your mind. You have to say to yourself, God is not going to be neglected anymore. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 NIV says it this way. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, take or sit in a company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates in his law day and night. The Bible says, Psalm 1 and 3, that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Wherever they go, they prosper. Not so with the wicked. They are like a shaft that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. That's Psalm 1. I read six verses there, but it simply say, it's better to follow God's word than not to follow God's word. And as I look at this today, I want to invite you, brothers and sisters, to examine your life. As we examine this text, that King Josiah, when it was his turn, when it was his turn on the throne, he made a decision that he wasn't going to neglect God anymore. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it is situated in a time of political transition. A religious revival with King Josiah is emerging as a key figure to guide Judah back to the faithfulness of God that will bring prosperity not only to Judah, but to God's land, to God's people. It's a period of his nation under the leadership from others who have neglected God. In fact, they didn't just neglect God, but other kings before him served other gods. Not only did they serve other gods, but Solomon's temple, the temple that was built, David wanted to build that temple, but God told him, no, you have blood on your hands. Your hands are not made to build the temple for me, but your son will do it. And Solomon came and built that temple that was designed for worship. That was designed that God will remember and dwell in that temple. But as time goes on, people neglected God. So therefore, neglecting God, they neglected his temple, his place of worship. And as they did that, other kings brought in their own gods right up in the temple and worshiped in the temple. And there needed to be a revival. And King Josiah made the choice that I am not going to neglect my God anymore. When King Josiah became king at the age of 8, following the assassination of his father Amon, who was considered an evil king, Josiah reigned during a time of great political change and decided that this spiritual decay, this spiritual decline, the temple being left out of worship, true worship, under my watch, it's not going to happen. Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to get in your business, but I do want to encourage you as your pastor and as on your preacher today that you need to look at your house and you need to make a decision in your house, on your job, wherever you are. Are you going to neglect God anymore? Is God everything? The Bible says, love God with all your heart. Love God with everything you have. Love the Lord God. You've got to make a choice like King Josiah did in this text. And he made the choice that God, under his watch, is not going to be neglected anymore. Why did he make this decision, and what was the reasons behind it? It's because there was an empire, the Assyrians, another nation. They were big, bad, and really, really could back up what they said. They didn't just have bark, church. They had bite. And had previously dominated this region. But now their influence and their impact is not as strong as it was. And as the Syrians were weakening, they would just rampage and they would destroy and be a thorn in Israel's side. But not because they were a better nation. It was because the nation of Israel was disobedient. And there was a covenant. Remember, there was a covenant that stated that if you follow me, I will make you prosperous between God and Israel. If you follow me, I'll make you prosperous. But if you disobey me, I will allow other nations to come and destroy you. And the Assyrians, as they were weakening, this gave an opportunity for Judah to become more independent. And during this time, it was Josiah's reign. It was King Josiah's turn. And Egypt and other, the Babylonian Empire, they were starting to get a little bit stronger. But King Josiah had an opportunity in the midst of all this to make a decision on how he was going to lead under his watch. For the purposes of today's lesson, we must emphasize that spirituality. Judah had suffered under idolatry. And Josiah came in to promote a change, to put God first. Josiah's predecessors, especially Manasseh and his father who was assassinated, Amon, King Josiah initiated significant religious reforms in an effort. Why did he do this? In an effort to return the nation to true and living spiritual worship to our God. And these reforms needed that certain things needed to happen. So King Josiah decided to go and repair and restore the temple of God. And by doing so, he found something that changed the nation's life. It's by going into the temple, the word of God, the book of the law, was found. And brothers and sisters, I want to share with you that you don't have to start off with everything. You just need to start. Somebody's life needs some repair. Some areas in your life have been neglected. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what level. I admit before you that there are some areas in my life that I know because of my flesh I am neglecting in my relationship with God, and I need to get better. And if you be honest, there are some areas in your life that you are neglecting and you just need to get better. And we have to first acknowledge that. And what I'm saying we can learn from King Josiah is that when it's our turn and it's your turn right now, and we just start by getting our worship in order, getting our praise in order, making sure that the environment in our lives is in such a way where we can have pure worship, where there's no other gods involved, where there's no other mixing other gods, there's no mixing any other ideologies. You just come to serve your God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Oh, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Yeah, I don't mean no harm. I don't mean no harm today, but I've been through too much, and God has brought me out of too much mess not to come up in here and say thank you. That job gonna be there when I get home. The problems at home, they'll be there when I get there. But as for me right now, I gotta praise. But we can let other stuff distract us and get in our worship. And King Josiah gives us a point that we need to start with our worship. And when we start with our worship and we're pure in our worship, we start finding stuff. Oh, help me somebody. Before I get to the text, I want to say what I found. When I started repairing my life and making sure that I'm not looking around because somebody else shouting, but I start shouting myself. You know, I don't mind. I can't speak for you. I don't mind getting ugly for the Lord. God has been good. Yeah. Sometimes I got to take my elbows. You give me a little room up in here, because I got to praise God. He woke me up this morning. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but my air condition's still working. And if I need to turn on the heat, that worked too. Y'all better give me a little praise room up in here. You may not want to say thank you, but up in here, thank you. But getting to the text and the point of the text is that in the text, King Josiah said, I'm not going to neglect God anymore, and I'm going to repair this temple. And in the midst of it, the priest that he sent, Hilkiah, goes in there and finds, in our terms, the word of God, the book of law. And what I'm saying to us today is that when you start repairing and getting your life right and starting with worship, you will find what you need. I found joy. I found peace. I found happiness. I found get up power. They found the word of God. And by finding the word of God, they were able to find God's thoughts and God's demands. And upon opening the word of God and listening to what the word of God said, King Josiah listened to Shaphan, the secretary. Listen to him. That's not my part. I'm leaving this to Sunday school, but I got to give you a little background. Is listened to the writer, and he started to read it, the secretary, and started to read the book of law, the word of God. And King Josiah said, oh, snap. We in trouble. You need to go find to the other country. Go down to Israel who knows something about this stuff and see what they say about it. And this is the text that we have today. We start at that 23. Y'all with me? Y'all Bible still open? Help a preacher out. Y'all, we starting at that 23. And that's where it is went to the prophetess. Huldah, and Huldah helped them out there. The prophetess, she helped them out. There's 23 through 27. That's all they're going to let me touch today. 23 through 27. And this is the point that we're at. They found the word of God. They found the book of law. And King Josiah got bothered because he read the word of God. And he know God is true. And like, we in trouble. Go find the word. So they found the word. And this is the word in 23. And she said, the prophetess answered them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, tell you the men that sent you to me. Ooh, tell them what? Verse 24. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written. Y'all with me? Your Bible open? That are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. In other words, you started... We're cleaning up your worship. You found the book. But everything the book said is true. Under King Josiah, you stay right there. That verse, don't you leave them verses now. 23, 24, you stay right there now. Under King Josiah, God is not going to be neglected anymore. So when he heard the word of God, he investigated. And he found out what it really meant. And what it meant is very true. And it impacts how they went about worship. And it brought about consequences that God said would happen. So you got to make up in your mind as we read this today, are you going to serve God with everything you have? Or are you going to neglect them like Israel did? First point. When you think about not neglecting God anymore, you can look at this text, verse 23, 24. You didn't leave them verses, right? You got your pen down? Verse 23, 24. That is the message of judgment. And my point here, if you want to write this down, the first point is you could depend on God. You could depend on God. You could depend on God. But you can depend on God for, I'm about to say a dirty word, y'all. Y'all with me? You can depend on God for accountability. Yeah, I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm just talking about my God. It's right there in the text. Is that if we neglect God, we're going to be accountable still to what he say. You can't run away from what he said. You can't run away from his standard. You know, I can get away with it. Wife gonna find it anyway, but hey, sweep the kitchen. I can sweep the kitchen, and sometimes I don't have that dustpan, so I sweep the dust under the rug. Put a rug on there. It look good. Somebody gonna find it. Help me, somebody. But God don't forget about the dust, the sin that you put up on it. Maybe I don't know about it. Maybe the person sitting next to you don't know about some of the stuff you did. Amen. First in front of you, behind you. But God knows exactly what you've done. And you can depend on God to hold you accountable to his way. I'm not trying to scare you, because can I tell the truth this morning? Is that you can depend on God for accountability. Verse 23, 24, you didn't leave the verses, did you? You haven't preached out? You didn't leave the verses, did you? 23, 24 of 2 Chronicles 34, this is the message of judgment based upon what they found in the temple of worship. While they were getting it together. See, it ain't stopped. They still was cleaning up. They was in the process of getting worship right in their life. They was in the process, and they found the word of God, and they had to stop and have a Bible study. And the message of judgment came, and she said unto them as what it was read, brothers and sisters, that God is going to do what he said. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, and everything that it said, the curses, is going to happen. Can I remind you that God is a God of accountability? Is that God gonna bless you, but he also gonna hold you accountable. I know you don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to hear that. But we want the blessings of God, but we don't like the correction of God. Ooh, if I got to preach this by myself. But I wouldn't be worth the preacher that I am if I didn't tell you that, yes, the God we serve is a God of blessings, but he's also a God of accountability. That everything that is in the word of God, you are accountable to. You can't just pick and choose what you're going to think, what you're going to say, and how you're going to live according to the word of God. I'm going to leave this alone. This is a different sermon. But I got to say, oh, I'm about to chase this rabbit. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to chase it. Brothers and sisters, we got to get to the point that we believe what we read, not read what we believe. If you read what you believe, you'll leave some stuff out. But if you believe what you read, Sunday school teachers. If you believe what you read, Sunday school goers. If you believe what you read, preachers. If you believe what you read, children of God, then you will be held accountable to what the word of God says. Even if you open the Bible up or don't open it, you're still accountable to what the word of God says. You know I'm right about it. I'm right about it. It's here in the text. We got to look at this, verse 23, 24, because God communicates a message of impending judgment to King Josiah through the prophetess Huldah, emphasizing this, that this is some serious stuff. This is some serious sin. You're going to bring God, and you're going to bring some other gods and burn incense and worship other folk up in my house? Not up in here. Don't y'all look at me like you're crazy. Y'all know, y'all may even do it yourself, but you know you got some relatives or some folk, even some children, friends, they trying to come up and light up some stuff in your house that you... They look in the rear, I don't know what you're talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, let me make it a little bit safe. During the hot holidays, I like chitterlings. And the first year of marriage, I got away with it. When we was dating, she didn't say nothing about it. The first year of marriage, I got away with it. Second year, I had to take my chitterlings, to the garage. They can't be cooked in the house. You got to cook them chitterlings in the garage. Help me, somebody. There was a standard set in this house. You can cook them, but not up in here. And you can do what you want to do, but you just can't come up in God's house any old kind of way, with any kind of worship, with any old kind of God, with any old kind of incense, and think that God gonna bless you. You better bring yourself right to God. Serious sin had happened, and the certainty of the consequences were outlined in Scripture, and the prophetess that says, sure enough, y'all about to get a whooping. Ooh-wee. This passage highlights the faithfulness of God in his word. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want the correction of God. Yeah, I thank the Lord now that I'm out of a house and my daddy's house. I thank the Lord that they whoop me. Because when I start being flesh and start doing the stuff that I want to do, even though I'm grown, I can remember them whoopings. You better not do that. Help me, somebody. Am I the only one to remember some of them whoopings? And even till today, it helps you think about some of the stuff you do. And as you look at this apostasy where the people of Judah turned to idolatry, and it prompted God to just keep his word. If you disobey me, I'm going to let the neighboring nations come in here. And not are they just going to whip you, but they're going to strip you. And they're going to take you into exile. And they're going to take you out. They're going to deport you. Y'all know that word? Y'all watch news? Yeah. God said, if you don't follow me, you're going to be deported. So brothers and sisters, reflect on the seriousness of sin in our own lives. I don't mean to give you some news that you don't like, but I just want to tell you, sin is real and the consequences
to sin are very real. You may be living high on the hog right now, job doing well, all that kind of stuff, and the rest of your life may be well down here, but at some point, you're going to have to give account for what you did with the sin in your life. And God's word warns us about the consequences of not repenting and changing our lives and letting sin just do whatever it wants to do in our lives. My Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Everlasting, eternal, whatever version you want to read. You live with the Lord forever. Engage, brothers, sisters, in regular self-examination and embrace God's call to repent and change and leave sin alone. Walk away. Run if you have to. Move if you have to. Because one day, you can depend on God for accountability. You're going to be accountable for the things that you do. And you're going to be accountable for the things you don't do. You can depend on God. And the first point of the you can depend on God when you are not going to neglect God anymore is you can depend on God for accountability. That's 23 and 24. Did y'all read 25 with me? 25, verse 25 said, "But they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger with all works of their hands. Because of this, therefore, my wrath," I'm upset, y'all. "My wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched." I'm about to bring out my belt. I'm just trying to make this plain. For the older saints, God is saying, go get my switch. You didn't do what I told you to do. Whooping time. Help me, somebody. And we want to act like we just have a God that blesses us and keeps us. Yes, he does that. But he also is a God of accountability. And he's a God of discipline. And when we don't do what God tells us to do, he's going to give us the consequences of disobedience. So you can depend on God. You can depend on God. The second thing, if you have made up in your mind that I'm not going to neglect God anymore, the first thing is that you can depend on God for accountability. He's going to hold you accountable for the sins that are explained in his word. And the second thing here is you can depend to know your transgressions. You're going to know exactly what you've done. Look at 25. He said, why? He didn't just say, I'm going to get them. He said, why? Because you came up in my temple and burned incense unto other gods. And that made me mad. Ain't that what he's saying? You took your hands that I made, them two hands, and you burned incense. Not only you burned incense, you serving other gods who have hands that can't clap. Serving other gods that got feet and they can't walk a step. Serving other gods that got eyes and can't see nothing. But I'm your God and I can see everything. I'm your God and I got feet and I'll step right on in. I'm your God and I got hands and I'll lift you up and turn you around. Place your feet on solid ground. How dare you, Israel? Serve other gods and in fact come up in my house and serve gods that can't do anything for you. God said, I'm upset. Say it like you, I feel some kind of way about that. And if you look at verse 25, is that he didn't hide. He brought out their transgressions. He knew what the, and he said, because of this, I'm going to give you consequences. My wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and it shall not be quenched. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand that God, at his time, at his appointed time, he's going to show us our transgressions. The prophetess, she is very articulate. She said it very plainly, very simple. She says, God's reasons for his anger, idolatry, and forsaking the covenant relationship. The covenant relationship is, if you do what I tell you to do, you'll be blessed. If you don't, I'm going to let other nations come in and deport you. It's just that simple. Exile. Send you somewhere else. They're going to come and they're going to get you. And if you look at this here, and you look in verse 25, and you see this of the forsaking the covenant relationship with God as you read this, and I just want to encourage you to read the Old Testament and things of that nature, is what also got people in other areas, but it's related to here, is that the nations and the kings, they did not depend on God. They tried to make a deal with other nations. If you help me fight these folk, let's get together and fight these. Let's four or five of us get together and fight other nations. And it sounds good on paper, but what it does is you're disrespecting God, because God is saying, by you going to other nations and asking for their help, you saying that I can't help you. You must depend on me. So brothers and sisters, when you are in whatever the stuff you in and you're going through your crisis and stuff like that, yeah, a doctor is good, a lawyer is good, mama got good advice, daddy got good advice, you can read a couple of books or two. But before you get to all that stuff, you ought to call and get on your knees and pray to God and ask God for guidance and wait. Yeah, help me somebody. You got to pray to your God and ask God for God and just flat out be honest with God and say, I'm going through some stuff and I don't want to leave you out of this, God. You tell me which way I need to go. What do I need to do? If I need to be quiet, I'm going to be quiet. If I need to speak out, I'm going to speak out. If I need to go, I'm going to go. Whatever you say, do, because you are God, and I can't win this battle without you. I'm not going to go to these human devices. And the prophetess told him exactly what was going on. And in other words, can I say a big word? God was mad because his people betrayed him. They went to other gods and even worshipped and came up in his house. So idolatry is not just physical act of worshiping other gods, but if you want to look deeper at the issue of idolatry, it's also where your heart is. Where's your heart? Is your heart with riches? Is your heart with pride? Is your heart, you want everybody to like you? Can I give you some advice? It don't matter what you do, there's always going to be a hater. It don't matter. You're going to have a hater. Matter of fact, you'll learn to love them. Because that means you're doing something right when there's haters around. But your allegiance needs to be with God. And your heart needs to be aligned with God. Be like David. Yes, a person after God's own heart. So brothers and sisters, identify. We preach a lot, but we don't say how. But I want to help you, is you need to identify and confront some idols in your life, in your life. Don't look at somebody else's life. Look at your life and examine your life. And if there's anything that is taking precedence and victory and attention over your God and your commitment to your God, then you need to throw that out and make God your priority. Commit to repairing your relationship with God and lining your heart with God's heart, so God can reign and speak to you, because he is the father of all. And God loves his children. So everything you think you want, God will give you everything you want. Not only will he supply your needs, but because you his child, if you just do what he tells you to do, he'll even give you what you want. But can I tell you this though? He'll give you what you want according to his will. Because he has some things for you. There's a purpose for you. And if he gives you things according to his will, the things in the journey that he has you for, and then I'm going to leave this second point alone, is that when he blesses you according to his will, you have all the tools you need to get done what you need to get done. The last point, then I promise you I'm going to leave you alone. I said one is that you can depend on God for accountability. Two is you can depend on transgression and maybe letting you know your transgressions. And maybe you didn't like that. But let's jump on down to verse 26 and 27. I can't leave them out. Is you can depend on God to reward general repentance. You can depend on God to reward general repentance. Can I just say U.D. Williams way, 26, 27. Probably said, you know them folk that sent you, tell them. Because they said they were sorry. When they heard the word, they tore their clothes showing that they were sorry. They're not going to see it. I'm going to come and I'm going to whoop, but they won't be here. I'm going to hold off. I'm going to give them some grace. I'm going to give them some mercy. Why? Because they said, I'm sorry. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, we have to look at this today, is that there's some things that we've done to people, to ourselves, and stuff like that, and we just moved on, and we try to get in our mind, well, I've said I'm sorry to the Lord. The Lord knows my heart. No, if you've done some wrong to somebody, you done said something to somebody, you done went off on somebody, you need to say, I'm sorry. Get off your high horse. Throw that pride aside and say, I'm sorry. Why? Because that's still sin. Let me tell you this. I can make that personal. I got enough stuff to answer for in my life. When I get there, it's going to be about 3.5 days of all the stuff that I've done. And then keep on going on. I got enough stuff on my list to have mistreating you on my list. I already got enough stuff on that. So go to the enemies. Go to the people that you've had some stuff to and said some stuff you know you shouldn't have said and acted the way you act and say, I'm sorry. And mean it from your heart. Because here the prophet said, because you tore your clothes, because you showed humility to the word of God, when you heard the word of God, you repented and you changed and you said you were sorry, I'm going to help you. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against the place and its people. And because you humbled yourself before me and you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. King Josiah's response was marked by humility and genuine repentance. As he tore his clothes and he wept, he showed that his heart was a heart of God, showing a heart that was tender to God's word and his warnings. He loved God, y'all. He loved God. And God values a heart that's after him. He just doesn't want our words, but he wants our worship. He just doesn't want our attendance. He wants our ministry. Josiah's leadership is a model of repentance that brings a nation back to God, that brings a person back to God. There's going to be brokenness in life. There's going to be things as we look at over our life, because we're human, we have neglected. But his brokenness before the Lord mirrors the need for all of us to genuinely turn toward God for God's guidance and say, God, I'm sorry. I have not been all that I should be. But I put my hand in your hand, and now I'm going to be what you want me to be. That's what King Josiah said. He said, I'm not going to neglect you anymore. I'm going to start with this temple, and by starting with the temple, they found the word of God. By reading and listening to the word of God, they repented and they changed their ways, and God blessed them and gave them grace and mercy. So as I am through, can I ask some questions today? Do you want God's grace? And do you want God's mercy? It's already there, but you need to understand the God that you serve. That one day you got to make up your mind, like King Josiah, that God is not going to be neglected anymore. Because I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it ain't no harm to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. But God needs your heart to be right. God needs your heart to be responsive to his word. God showed Josiah and through Josiah that if you just say I'm sorry, if you tear your clothes, if you show yourself to be humble, I will spare you and give you another day. This passage challenges us, brothers and sisters, to take the warning of scripture seriously and get rid of all sin and idolatry that God does not like, and embrace God with a humble response. In our lives and in our leadership and in our living for the Lord, we need to prioritize cultivating a sensitivity to God's voice. And in our commitment to obedience to God, let us pursue a heartfelt alignment with what God wants us to do, both individually and collectively, knowing that he responds to a genuine repentance with grace, mercy, and transformation. Is there anybody in here that know God is able to forgive? Is there anybody in here that can say, I'm under the new covenant, which is Jesus the Christ? I ain't got to take no lamb, no dove, or nothing and wring its neck. All I got to do is have faith in Jesus. And if I have faith in Jesus, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, I don't have to worry about no doorpost. I don't have to worry about no firstborn, because Jesus is the firstborn. And he died for all of our sins. And if there's anybody in here that realizes that there's some areas in your life that you have neglected God, you don't pray like you ought to pray. You don't tell the truth like you ought to tell the truth. You don't always do the things you're supposed to do. Can I tell you something? I'm right there with you. But I say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Then all I'm going to do is say, I'm sorry. I tear my clothes before you. I humble my heart. Lord, fix me. Hey, 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 hey. Fix me, Jesus. Fix me, Jesus. Is he able to fix you? Oh, don't fool me now. Is he able to fix you? Somebody up in here had an attitude problem. Was he able to fix your attitude? Uh-huh. Somebody was full of pride. Was he able to fix your pride? Yeah, yeah. Somebody was just mean like a rattlesnake. Is there anybody that's not as mean anymore? He's able. He's able. He's able. Make up in your mind that I'm not going to neglect God anymore. Invitation. First thing is, brothers and sisters, you need to recognize your need for God. Acknowledge that you need God, and that is the starting point. Don't let the world say you got to have it all together because you can't get it together without God. Understanding that you cannot live a spirit-filled life apart from Jesus being your King and Jesus being your Lord, because Jesus died on Calvary's cross for you. His body was placed in a tomb for you, and by the power of God, he raised up from the dead for you. And all you have to do is believe, recognize you need Jesus Christ as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior in your life. And believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. But as this lesson shows on today, and I want to bring out, is that Josiah repented of his sins, not only his, but for the nation. And brothers and sisters, that's the start with getting a right relationship with God. We have to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need to be saved by you. This is the day that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and purify you of all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister, on today? You can raise your hand or you can come down. Is there one who wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as your King? You can come down, my brother, my sister. If there's one on today, you can come today. Do not have a church home and you would like to come and connect with this body of believers. Is there one on today, my brother? Is there one today, my sister? Is there one? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Will you come? You can raise your hand. You can come down. Is there one? Give your life to Jesus. Is there one today? Is there one on today? You'd like to connect with this body of believers? Give your life and heart to Jesus. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one on today? Give your heart, give your life to Jesus. Want to connect with this body of believers? Is there one? Is there one on today? Believe in Jesus as your Savior. The atonement of your sins. Is there one?
Ms. Devlin, you may stand. The invitation to you, my brother and my sister, is to reflect on your life and make a decision that you are not going to neglect God anymore. It starts with worship, and in worship you will find the word of God that will direct you and keep you in everything that you do. God is a God of accountability. God will let us know our transgressions, but also God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. All you have to do is come before him humbly, and he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today. We give your name glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest with and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen, amen.